Welcome to Grow Cookie to Range with me, Sarah Raven, and Josie Lewis, our head gardener at Patch Hill. And we thought we would start the new year with a whole new strand to the podcast, which is that we're going to take questions from you, our listeners, and every once in a while, we're going to have a session answering them, kind of once a month or thereabouts. So we've got some questions already for January, and so we're going to crack on with those. I'm going to do a couple, and then Josie's going to do a couple. So we hope you find these interesting, and keep them coming. If you want us to answer anything, little or large, detailed or general, then give us a try. If we don't know the answer, which hopefully we will between us, we will, I promise you, research it, look into it with our suppliers or whatever, and we will then answer it as intelligently and as creatively as we can. So the first one that I've got for January is it better to grow sweet peas from seed or to buy plug plants? And if you do buy plug plants, should you separate out the plants into a single plug? So is it better to grow sweet peas from seed or buy plug plants? That's the first bit. Well, it completely depends on your infrastructure, really. I reckon any seed is best grown with a little bit of basal heat, but minimal, and basically grown as cold, as light as you possibly can. And so if you have somewhere in your house or your garden, like a coal frame, a greenhouse, a polytunnel, or a cool window ledge, you can easily grow sweet peas from seed. You truly can. If you don't have one of those places, which is cool but light, then I would say probably best to buy plugs in, because otherwise they tend to get quite weedy and leggy. And also, it's just they can be a bit disappointing then, I guess. So if you want the best, then you need the right growing environment. And if you haven't got it, then let us or somebody else do it for you.
It's a timing thing as well, isn't it? If people really don't have the time to do it, then it's always worth buying the plugs in.
Yeah. And, you know, they're not hugely expensive and they are very rewarding. But, you know, this is not a sales speech at all. This is literally what Josie and I would do if it was ourselves at home.
Yeah.
And then if you do buy plug plants, should you separate out the plants into a single plug? Okay, so this is the thing that I really do get a little bit distressed about on the May bank holidays, because you walk into a garden centre quite often, the ones around here, but, you know, this is quite general. I've seen it UK-wide. And you see, almost as you walk in, there's often a big barrow or trolley of little tiny sweet pea seedlings with a load of little sweet pea seedlings in a little dumpy small pot. And yes, they're a bargain, but actually the trouble is you have got to rip those plants apart. And one of the things that sweet peas hate more than anything is root disturbance. So yes, that's why one of the reasons we use root trainers or deep, long, thin pots with one seed in each is that it means you don't have to rip the roots of the seedlings at all, because sweet peas really hate that. So if you buy them in a short, stumpy pot and you've got eight, you've got to separate them. And honestly, that is almost instant death in my experience to sweet peas. Would you agree with that, Josie?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, they come in these lovely long plugs. Well, from us, but I assume other suppliers do the same thing when they send plugs out. But they look so lovely when they come in, really healthy, a long-rooted seedling. So definitely worth buying them in if you haven't had time to sow your own.
Okay, so that was the first question for January. And actually, just while we're on it, January is a really excellent time to sow sweet pea seeds. It's not busy. It's enough time to get them in, to get well established before you plant them out, from the middle of March till sort of the end of April, really.
When would you advise the last time to sow them, the latest time in the year?
Well, so I remember planting out sweet pea seedlings every week from Valentine's Day, a batch every week until the middle of May. And the truth is the really early ones just sat there and didn't do very much. And to be honest, didn't flower any earlier. So I reckon planting out mid-March till sort of mid-May is good. But again, you don't want to get too late, because if it's really dry, you're going to have to water them a lot, because sweet peas, that's the other thing they do like, is lots of nice juicy rain and really quite good manure at their roots. So they like food and water. And then if you bring it sort of 8 weeks back from that date for when you're sowing, really the first week of January is a really good time if you want to plant them out in March. Okay, so hopefully that answers your queries on that. So the second question that we had for January is, does Sarah have information on shrubs and hedges and why these are becoming integral to gardens again? I really love this question because you're absolutely right. We've seen a real increase in interest in shrubs and our hedge mixes, which are basically British naturalizing hedge material, so wild species plants, but in hedges. And there are so many reasons for this. I think primarily for us here, we're planting more and more hedges all the time, but luckily it's one of the first things that I did when I moved to Perchill is I planted about a mile long of hedges around the garden as a windbreak. So that's a really important thing. And they will protect, a hedge protects over five times its height. So you will get a really nice sheltered area, five times the ultimate height of the hedge. Also fantastic for biodiversity, for nature. So obviously, particularly for birds, you've got nesting sites, you've got forage, fruits and flowers. So, you know, bullfinches eat the blossom, but moving on to blackbirds that eat the fruit. So yeah, really, really fantastic for garden birds. Fantastic aesthetically too, for giving a really lovely natural backdrop. And that also applies with shrubs. Again, really perfect, protected nesting sites for birds and shrubs. Really lovely architecture. I think of them as the punctuation marks through a garden. And they don't have to be evergreen, actually. I mean, we've got an almost evergreen abelia that Josie gave me just outside the door where I'm sitting recording this. And I absolutely adore it. And it's sort of almost evergreen, beautifully fragrant. But I know as a fact that the birds love it. It gives them really good protection. Scented, flowery, beautiful colours, wonderful. So we're planting more shrubs here. We're actually creating a whole new shrub area in the easternmost part beyond the school, between the school and the polytunnel here this winter. And I'm excited by that. Whereas when I moved here, I have to confess I wasn't so keen on shrubs because I'm impatient and they were slow growing.
Yeah. Really looking forward to that new area. And we're concentrating slightly as well on shrubs that are good for cutting. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see that. And the other thing I could add is, you know, hedges rather than fencing, because hedges will filter the wind, whereas if wind hits a fence, it's up and over the top and it'll sort of wipe out things on the other side of the fence. So it's much better for filtering wind.
Good. And the final thing that I wanted to add on hedges is, we've done really quite a lot of trialing here about perennialising tulips or bulbs, but particularly tulips, which of course are much less perennial naturally than narcissus and alliums and hyacinths, all of them actually, and fritillaries. So with tulips, so they're least perennial. But we have found if we plant them in the base of our hedges, on the sunny side, on the whole, we found that the tulips really perennialize. They just naturalize. And I think it's because at the base of a hedge, it's a pretty horrible place to grow in that it's very dry because of the hedge plant roots. And it's very impoverished because all the goodness is sucked out by the hedges. And if you think about tulips in nature, where they grow in the wild, I've seen them in Crete. I've seen them in other areas and highland areas in Greece. And you always see them in really thin soil, almost on top of a boulder where there's literally almost no organic matter at all. And they have to suffer extreme temperature swings. So from freezing, freezing cold to absolute drought in the summer months. And I guess in a way, a hedge creates that on its sunny side almost more than anywhere in the garden. So that's the other thing about hedges. That's another reason we're so keen on them.
Yes, yeah. Lots of good reasons for hedges.